preach. I got a lot on my heart to share with you guys. You know, how many of you were here last week? Raise your hand if you're here last week. Most of you. So last week, Jamie was preaching a message that was really based out of some prophetic words that he had gotten at the beginning of the year. And at the beginning, he shared the whole story last year of how he was having like the craziest day ever, and his children were being really, well, child at the time was being really difficult, and it was just a really stressful day. And he always likes to take some time to listen to the Lord, say, God, what are you speaking for this new year? And I think it's good for all of us to do that. What are you speaking to me for this new year? Because how many of you know that God, even though, thanks, buddy, even though he's outside of time, he'll operate within like our little sections of time that we've ordained. And he'll actually do things. He'll have different emphasis. I don't know why he does it, but he does it. He'll have an emphasis for the year, for the church, and for different pockets of believers. And all of us in this place, because we're attaching ourselves to this house, there's a destiny on this church, and there's a destiny on us together as a family and on us individually. Does that make sense? And so Jamie was speaking to what he felt like God was telling him about what he wanted to do for the year of 2016. It's been a crazy year, right? Like, really good. Probably for some people it's been really intense. And I've just seen the hand of the Lord just starting to bring some of these promises to pass. And especially over the last month, this conference was such a landmark moment for our church locally. And everything God's done in Salem, and I'm just looking all over our church, and I'm seeing some of this stuff start to come to pass. And I think it's good for us to stay in the flow of what God was speaking for the year. And at the beginning of the year, when God was speaking to Jamie, he was literally simultaneously speaking to me. And when me and Jamie first talked, and he asked me to preach the next Sunday, he wasn't really planning on it. He couldn't make it the next Sunday, so he asked me to speak the week after he shared his prophetic words at the beginning of the year. I said, well, I feel like I have prophetic words. He's like, I have prophetic words. What are you doing? You know, and we didn't know what to do. And when we really looked at it, it was like Jamie gave this bigger picture of what God was doing, and then the Lord had kind of given me some of the details and some of the kind of smaller picture things. And so that's what I feel like we're to do today, is just to reconnect with what God spoke over the year. And how many know, like, this is like, this is probably like the most crazy and busy intense season for any of us to start like walking in prophetic promise. It's the holidays. You know what I mean? This is the time where we're all like super, super busy with stuff that's not necessarily like our supernatural ministry or like our like crazy church stuff. This is when we're really busy with like family and Christmas, which I am excited about Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I just think it has a time and place. Here's why I think Christmas should only be celebrated after Thanksgiving. Because I feel like it gives you permission just to really freak out when it's over a smaller period of time. Does that make sense? No. My wife could celebrate Christmas like she could have started this year's Christmas like January 1st of 2016. lost my train of thought. Sorry, I made a joke. And so I just feel like it's super important for us to stay connected to some of the details of what God was speaking. So if it's okay with you, I just want to share the original word that God gave me that I really believe is pointing. Oh, this is the point I was making. Thank you, Jesus. So this is a really crazy time. It's a really busy time. But sometimes in the most inconvenient, super busy time where circumstances around us aren't really like the ideal circumstances for certain promises to come to pass, they become the very thing that is like what launches us into destiny. And what the Lord spoke to me like about this season, it's almost like the birth of Jesus. You know, Jesus was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. But at the time, Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. And honestly, they didn't really have any plans to move. There's nothing in Scripture that says they're like, oh, well, we're having the Messiah, so we have to go to Bethlehem so that the promise can be fulfilled. But what happened is the Roman Empire was like a mess financially, and so they took a big census and they would take so that they could tax everybody. So literally, they demanded that every single person go back to whatever it is they were originally born so that everyone could get taxed to try to save the economy. So literally, Mary and Joseph were inconvenienced into Bethlehem the pace of their promise. It was the inconvenience of a struggling economy and the demands of an emperor telling them that they needed to go to where they were originally from so that he could take their money, so that they could save the nation financially. And it's almost the same way when we talk about like just this amazing prophetic promise, really specific to this year. And we've only got a couple months left, so it's the most like intense time ever. And it might seem inconvenient, like how can any of this happen in the context of this season? But I'm telling you, God is going to set things up for us this year, the rest of this year, in the midst of our family, in the midst of Christmas celebration, all the busyness that it brings. Even for some of us who work in different types of businesses, this is your busy time. And I feel like God's going to start launching us in some of the most wild destiny and encounter. Like, let me just share the word of what I felt this year, and it'll make a little bit more sense. Wrong document. Right document. So I was waiting. I was actually not, just like Jamie, I was not looking for a prophetic word. And about at the beginning of the year, I had lost my wedding ring last summer. And so I bought one from Walmart, but it wasn't the original one. It was kind of a bummer, but excuse me, this is what it is. I had no idea where it went. And so the first of the year, this year, I was reaching into my couch to find the remote, I think it was. I was trying to find the channel changer. And I felt something that felt, and you know, that's just the grossest. Like, nobody likes to do that. And I felt like a circular thing, and I thought it was like, you know, the little ring of like a little thing of soda or something. And so I was like, oh, gross. And so I took it out, and it was my wedding ring. Which is like really good news. I still got it. I haven't lost it yet. And the Lord instantly spoke to me, like instantly in the moment, as clear as day. He said, Tim, I'm restoring covenant to the church this year. He said, I'm restoring covenant, and we're gonna find our treasures that have been hidden. And this is what I wrote down. I said, I declare that 2016 will be a year of our fortunes revealed, that treasures are going to be found by us this year. The treasures God is speaking of in this word are the aspects of our calling and our destiny that we would give our lives to see happen. That they'll be discovered and they'll be fully realized. I just prophesy even now that these treasures are like the coin in the field. It's Matthew 13, 44. It's where Jesus says the kingdom is like this. You put a coin in a field and then you bought the entire field so that you would have a place. Like you literally sell all you have to buy the field that you put this one coin in, this one treasure. And oftentimes we can say that represents God's love for us, but it also represents the aspects of our destiny where we would spend all of our resources, every resource that we have of time and skill and energy and finances, that we would pour everything out. We'd buy the entire field as long as we got this one coin. And I feel like everybody has a coin. Like everybody has something, and it's also different, it's also beautiful, but everybody has something. It's this calling, it's this destiny, and it can get a little weird when we start talking about it in charismatic circles. It can be like, well, do you know it or do you not? And it's sometimes it's not that crazy. Sometimes it's whether it's passionately leading your family, or whether it's a certain career, or if it's the church work, or if it's Michelle and Ricky and what they do with the homeless. It's different for everybody, but everybody, I believe, is supposed to walk out the kingdom, because you're supposed to do with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul and all your strength, which means you're all the way invested, which means it's something you would give everything for, right? Because our ministry is, and what we do in life is the byproduct of our love for God, which is all of our heart. And our love for people, which is the same, right? And so what God said is, God is showing us the place we can put our treasure into and not be ashamed. It won't be a waste of time because it's the right time and it's the right place and the right thing. So give yourself fully to the dreams God planted in you. This year will be marked by radical faith expression. Risk and reward will mark this year. I looked and saw that the seeds, I saw seeds and they were bigger than normal seeds. And that God is saying, this is the year of the big dreams of God. Like, I really feel like there's just this anointing, there's this thing that God is doing where it's the big ones. Like, for some of us, it's the big dreams of God realized. The kind of things that 20, 30 years later, you realize that you gave your life to it because of what God did in this year. It's just what I feel like he's doing. And for some of us, this may resonate, this may not, but I just got to be faithful to what God is sharing. This will be the year of the big dreams of God coming to pass, life-altering, defining seasons that will bring definition to who we will always be. And then instantly, my heart and mind started to drift towards finances, and I felt the Lord say the key to financial breakthrough is to give, give, give. I heard him say it three times. emphatically, and he said, give and it shall be given back to you. So this is supposed to be for us, especially in this time coming up, a season of radical generosity. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And a part of how we walk out this calling and this destiny this year, if you're in a position where finances is one of the roadblocks that you have between you and what you feel like you're called to, I mean, this is obviously a kingdom principle, but this is something that for our church, that for us, this family, I felt like God was emphatic. And I'm sure you guys are so amazing already, but just to re-encourage, he's emphatic saying, give, 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 whether it's to the church or whether it's to, if you feel like you're called to the nations, then give to the nations. You know, if you feel like you're called to business and start supporting business, whatever it is, that you would give, 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 that your radical faith in giving would produce radical fruit of dreams being realized in your life. And then the Lord said, but this is also a year of covenant, and he's restoring covenant, going left and right, to go deep into relationship, past the surface, so that the most beautiful expression of covenant can finally be fully established, which is family. We've eaten the appetizer of family, but this year it's time to eat the full meal. And I see a whole lot of moments where you just are like, for all of us in different ways, where it's like, here I am, everything good and everything bad happening over the course of this last couple months. It's just, we're just, as we get closer, we start to see the fuller picture of who we are. And the challenge for us in this church is going to embrace the ones around us in a big love, no matter how broken or how healthy they are. That the deeper we go, the more challenging it can become. But when we start getting into this place of covenant and family, see, we're no longer here for each other's entertainment and pleasure. But we start to be here for each other's purpose. And once you start to get into that realm of relationship and friendship where it's not just about having fun all the time, like it is enjoyable, it's a pleasurable experience having friendship. That's what it's built off of, is friendship. But we start talking about family. There's actually a function within covenant and family that we're going to talk about today. And when I first talked about this, I preached at the beginning of the year about covenant and what it is in the Bible. It's an eternal promise. It's transitional. It's sacrificial. It's a lot of different things. But what I felt like the Lord wanted to speak about today is about these treasures. And about these treasures, how do we get access to these treasures, these places of passion, calling, and destiny that we know we were born for? Or maybe we don't quite know we were born for. How do we go from where we're at, whether we're short in the journey or long in the journey, to finding that treasure that God was talking about for the rest of this year? And when I was waiting on the Lord, I felt like he gave me a few keys. So I just want to share them, and then we'll be on our way to watch a little bit of football. Praise the Lamb, and decorate for Christmas. Okay, you guys ready? Holy Spirit, I pray again, Holy God, that you would show us in this time, that you would speak to each one of our hearts. God, I pray right off the get-go, if there are those in here that feel like they're confused about what they're called to, they're confused about their destiny, they feel like they don't have that place of passion that they may see in other people, we just command that shame would fall off this place right now. And we just declare that this is a time of equipping, and this is a time of fun, and this is a time to dream, and this is a time of strategy and of moving forward into the things God has for us. Amen. So the first key that the Lord gave me, and it goes along with what he was speaking, is that when we're trying to find these treasures, when we're trying to find this stuff where Jamie spoke, and were you here last year when all that water, all the rain started to fall, when he's talking about the latter rain last week? That was really crazy. And what I feel like was happening is he was kind of preparing. That the picture I saw is all this rain fell, and it fell on this sand, and we took a shovel and we went in there, and all these pearls. It was so much easier to find, because what God is doing, and I feel like I need to say this, the word that Jamie had was that the Lord was pouring out a rain so that it was not of your own effort, but because of the faithfulness of this house, the stewardship and the steadfastness of this house, that God was going to start causing fruit to happen. Okay, so these are like in the midst of what God is doing. It's not something we're working for or earning, but that there's just little keys to kind of come in line with what he's doing. Okay, so key number one that the Lord told me is that when we're in this process of trying to find our passion, our purpose, the destiny, the thing that we give our whole lives for, is that we have to do it in the context of relationship, family, and covenant. Like, we have to do it in the midst of community if we want it to be sustainable. You know, anything sustainable in the kingdom is happening in the context of family. It's happening in the context of community. So the Bible talks about how we're many members of one body and how the eye shouldn't say to the foot, I have no need of you, right? And it talks about how, and it actually says that God set them in place together. And we need to just kind of smash this mindset, especially for those of us who are like really independent, of this idea of if I don't find my destiny on my own, then it's not mine, right? Like if I don't find my calling, or if I don't find this thing in the kingdom completely by myself, then I don't own it. That somehow if we're actually inviting people into the depth of our process, that we actually don't fully own it. Does that make sense? You see, that might seem like a logical thing, except that it's just not in the Bible. There's just nowhere in Scripture where Paul is exhorting you, figure it out on your own so that you can stand. He's saying, be confident. He's saying, what you find, stand upon it. Stand upon the truth. But there's this whole portion, chapters in the Bible, trying to exhort the church, do not figure this out by yourself. Find your place, find your calling, find your destiny in the context of family and in the context of community, because there's power in agreement, friends. There's power when two people in the kingdom have agreement. In Deuteronomy 32:30, it says one can put 1,000 to flight, but then two can put 10,000 to flight. That speaks of agreement, friends. That speaks of one person can maybe get a portion of their life figured out and they can like just do whatever it takes to get in their destiny. But when two people have agreement over the destiny of over each other's lives, all of a sudden you're going from 1,000 to 10,000 in productivity. There's just this power. It's this principle of, we even talk about it. Jamie's talked about it before, this thing when there's one horse that's just trying to pull a carriage, that once you actually add a second horse, it's not the power of the two horses, but literally there's this, I forget the name of the law in science, but there's literally a third horse that gets added once you have the two coming into agreement. And I really believe that that is a scientific that's a scientific principle that speaks of the Spirit, that when two people are gathered together in unity over something, that there's just more than what the two of them possess, all of a sudden it gets launched forward. What would it be like, friends, if we started having this deep level of agreement over the dreams and destinies over each other's lives? That we've got somebody who has a dream and a vision to be involved in business, that they feel like they need to start businesses and they can try to figure it out on their own. Or there's a group of people that maybe they're not business-minded. Maybe we don't have the tools to help, but we have agreement with what God has spoken over your life. There's power in agreement, and there's power in honor. You know, there's power, which is really the only way to do family, the only way to do covenant in this biblical place of community, is that when we're getting involved in each other's lives, right? When we're having these moments where we're being more vulnerable, we're being more known and more seen. The way this becomes a kingdom community is that we're a community that carries honor. And what do I mean by honor? It's believing the report of God over a person. It is believing, regardless of where someone is in the process of their life, that you actually believe in, you speak over, you declare, and you call forth the fullness of their calling and identity. It's believing in the full picture of their identity before they ever fully walk in it. You see, the Bible talks about Mark 6, where Jesus receives no honor in his hometown, and very little happened for the kingdom in that place. Very little happened. Jesus' destiny was not really expressed in that town. But then later on, it says in Matthew 10, if you honor a prophet, you'll actually receive a prophet's reward. You see, honor can be this thing, the lack of honor among a group of friends, like amongst a body of believers, a lack of honor in our midst can be like a cap on the well of someone's gifting and destiny. But honor can be the very thing that busts open the rivers for it to just flow out. This genuine belief, not just token, but this genuine belief, this deep-seated belief in what God, that God wouldn't put something on someone's life and not make them able to walk it out. I mean, honestly, most of us need to start believing that about ourselves. You know, that God is actually a God of honor. See, Jesus never asks us to do anything that he doesn't already do. So Jesus is walking in honor towards his bride. He's literally constantly, day and night, no matter where we're at, speaking life and destiny and his plan and purpose over us. And that should be the very thing that fuels us into the life that we're called to live. Friends, we need to come into agreement with Jesus on a deep, deep level. You know, I think we need to take a mindset of like other people's success is our success. You know what I mean? That in family and in covenant, we literally tie ourselves together. Like, if you're not making it, I'm not making it. And there's a line there, there's wisdom there, obviously. Don't you know, hear what I'm not saying. But this place of family, this eternal, like, community that we commit to each other. You know what I mean? You guys have all probably heard me talk about family and covenant a million times, but I so strongly believe that family and covenant is going to be the thing that just breaks open revival in Central Maine and in Maine. Like, fire and zeal and prayer and worship is a huge part of it, but it'll only be a fizzle if there's not family. See, family is the only thing in the end times, if you want to talk about the end times, the only thing that's going to endure the dark getting darker, if that's really going to happen, is the family of God being the family of God. That when we come into this place, that when we come into each other's homes, we come into a safe harbor. And I know I'm really intense right now. It's not because I don't think you're doing a good job, but I just feel like this is something that we need to fight for. I feel like this is something that we need to violently pursue over the next two months, or just under 2 months. I mean, especially in the home groups. You know, if you're not a part of a home group, get to a home group. Let that be your place. You know, if it works for you, let that be the place where you can be known and that you can know people. Let that be the place where somebody could honor you, where somebody could believe for your destiny, where somebody could pray with you, and you could then in turn do the same thing. Plug for home groups. I just so strongly believe that without family, we're just not going to make it. You know, at least not this group of people. I've seen churches that don't do family, and they might still be in existence, but they're not with the same people that were there 5 years ago. I don't know why this is coming to mind, but there's literally a church in Ohio that I was a part of. It was an Episcopalian church. Awesome. Very liturgical. They're spirit-filled. And I go back there. The last time I was there a few years ago, the pastor still knew my name. And he hadn't seen me since I was about 10. And he asked me about, you know, you still live at blah, blah, blah address? You know that my family still lived. And that church has been sustained through decades and decades and decades of renewal and revival. And they're still experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're still singing the songs that they sang in the 90s. But the commitment to each other has, it says, you know, where the brethren gather together in unity, there I command my blessing. And I feel like we need that commanded blessing of God to do what we're called to do. Does that make sense? So honor, and let's turn to 1 Samuel 18. Please, Jesus, let that be the right scripture. It was 1 Corinthians. What a goober. Oh, I got this one, y'all. You know, honor and commitment and love in the context of family and relationship is really proven in sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, when God made a covenant with men, or when people made a covenant, you know, like that eternal kind of till I die promise to each other, oftentimes it would actually be joined with a sacrifice. Like, they would sacrifice an animal. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice sheep and all this stuff, and oftentimes it's for the atonement of sin, right? But this context had nothing to do with anyone's sin getting atoned for. It had nothing to do with appeasing God. But the only purpose of sacrificing next to a covenant was to show value for the covenant that just got made. Sacrifice shows value for covenant and family. Sacrifice shows value for relationship. You know, this isn't like rocket science. When you see somebody give of themselves for you, it strengthens your relationship. and it strengthens the trust and the bond that you have with between each other. And I would like to submit to you that place of sacrifice for our friends and family is actually the launching pad for a lot of us into destiny. In 1 Samuel 18, it says, now we see in the end of 17, this is where David just killed Goliath. This is like David's big moment. And at this point, he's not a king. He's just a worshiping warrior shepherd boy, the least in his family. And he's just a zealous man after God's, kid after God's own heart. He's not a king. He's not a warrior king. He's not a general. He's none of those things at this point. He's just a believer. And so he kills Goliath, and he's victorious over the Philistines. And then it says, and he comes to this guy, Jonathan's dad, Saul, and he talks with him, and then Saul took him in. And it says, now when he had finished speaking of David, Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go to the home of his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and with his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. And so David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. You know, that's way more significant than just Jonathan giving him stuff that he happened to have on him at the time. Jonathan was the son of the king, which means that when Saul died, Jonathan was in line to be the next king. But when Jonathan saw David in that moment where he defeated Goliath, he didn't see a shepherd boy. He saw the next king of Israel. Nobody else saw it, but he saw that man is meant to be king. And in that moment it says his soul was knit to them. And you know what it's like when you meet somebody, like it's happened here all the time. I meet somebody instantly. I just meet them and I say hi. I can feel my soul just getting knit to these people. It's like when I met Tim Reed. I was like, he first came here, and I just knew, like, this is a buddy, this is a friend. And it didn't take long for me to feel very, very close to Tim Reed. That's just how it is for me. There's a lot of people in this room. Sorry if I didn't say your name just now, but I'll say Zach, because I know when I first moved here, you know, me and Zach were roommates, and it just didn't take long for me to realize this is a life friend. This is somebody that my soul, you know what it's like. This is not like this magic moment of his soul was then knit to the soul of David. You know what it's like when you meet somebody and you feel like, oh, there's this instant connection. If we're discerning, we'd be like, wait a minute, I think God might be in this. And in this context, Jonathan realizes, wait a minute, this guy is supposed to take my job. And so he sacrifices his own calling. He sacrifices his own armor, his own sword, and he gives it to David. And it's because of that moment of sacrifice. If he didn't have that, David would have never been king. I mean, God could have done maybe another way, but that was the avenue that God made David king, was through the sacrificial love of Jonathan. And in the same way, I just feel like each of us have resources. We have talent. We have time. We have listening ears. And that we can be sacrificial of what we have to each other. But what we need to do, friends, this is so important. If you get nothing else, get this. We need to look at shepherd boys all around us and see the kings. We need to look at what may seem like ordinary people that we see all the time, that are just in their routine, that are working in their jobs, that come here every Sunday, that are, you know, not perfect. And we need to see the finished picture. And the only way we can do that is if we intention our hearts. We don't see it on accident, friends. We see it because we're looking for it. And so what we need to do when we're trying to find this place of passion, this place of destiny, we're trying to find this coin in the field. Friends, let your love and let your ability to discern the call of God, not to be controlling. We're not defining people's lives for them. But what we're saying is, I feel like I see God on you, and I'm just going to lay my life down to see you just launch into what you're called to do. And the best part about being in a covenantal community is that people then do it for you as well. And that nobody's left wanting. Nobody's left like, oh, I give and I give and I give. But there's just constant, there's this honor, agreement, and sacrifice just going back and forth and back and forth. And how, I mean, can't you see how that would just lift the community up into a place of promise? We have to do this thing in community. Second key. And again, I know we're going a little bit over, but I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because I feel like this is important. Okay? Okay. I'll go as quickly as I can. Second key. Ready? You don't have to turn there. It's Habakkuk 2:2. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run." And when we're talking about having passion, having dreams, having vision, calling, destiny, whatever you want to call it, there's something so powerful and so profound when it comes from in your heart and in your head, and it goes on the pen and it makes it to the paper. When you're actually able to write down and define what it is that you feel like you're called to, what kind of passions are brewing in your heart. In fact, even to write it down as a mission and vision statement, right? You guys heard that? Mission and vision. Every company has one. Some married couples have one, you know? And it seems like such a formality, like this, like, that's not like raw and organic. But friends, a mission and a vision statement is something that is literally like this anchor that holds you accountable to what you feel like God is speaking to you. You see, a mission, I sometimes get these back and forth, but your mission is what you want to see happen, right? Your mission is like the end result. I want to see all of Oakland, Maine saved. That's my mission. And your vision is how you'll see that come to pass, through worship and prayer and teaching and evangelism and all the other things that we want to do, right? And so what the Bible says is people perish for a lack of vision in Proverbs, that literally people without vision, they perish or they cast off restraint. They give up because they don't have vision. Because if you don't have vision, if all we have is passion but we have no vision, then we have no direction. You see, people are meant to walk in momentum. Everyone say momentum. A little bit louder, say momentum. Everyone's meant to walk in momentum, and momentum, it needs to be helped. It needs to keep going and going and going and going and going. And we need to add our effort to keep that momentum going. We're not meant to just like drudge through life, and it's all through our work, it's through our effort. But there's literally a momentum when you start walking a life of faithfulness in the Holy Spirit that He starts to just put wind on your life, and there's momentum. And what we need to start doing is we need to start writing down the vision and the plan and the destiny. Can we just get this practical? Is it okay? Like, write down the vision and plan that you have for your life so that you can continue to walk in the same direction, that you're not going left and right and left and right and hindering your momentum, but you have this clear vision from God of where you're going and how you're going to get there. Because it says, "Then the Lord answered me," it says, "record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run." May run, friends. That's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. I don't want to be, you know, tra-la-la, skipping into the promises of God. I want to be running so that it can be said of me like it was said of David, that I accomplished everything I was meant to in my generation. Come on. Like that should be the passion, the desire of every believer, that the fullness of what God has planned for us, that we walked it all out, that we saw it all happen. Not only does writing it down give you clear directions, but when your passions are on paper, it literally sifts your heart and it gives you a chance to confront your fear. That ever happen? Like, if any of you have ever done it before, like you just like have this idea and then you write it down, you're like, oh my God. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. You know, it literally, there's something about seeing it written out before you that it sifts your heart. And you start to be aware of all the places that maybe you don't have belief, or you start to see, here's the areas of my life that I'm really afraid to walk into. It's so crucial for us to be aware of this stuff, because without it, like it says, we cast off restraint, we stop caring. All we know is that it's like, I've got this weird, you know, there's just this vague thing that keeps me from really walking out the plan of my life, from walking out the vision of my life. Maybe it's because it's just not clear to you, because it's not written down. Now, for us in the kingdom, you know, we can't just be, to kind of bring this into balance, we can't just be people who care about vision and who have this big picture thing of our lives. We have to care about people. Put that there. You know, if the vision of our life, and this is something that I felt so strongly over this, I almost just preached on this. If our vision for our life, if we don't have a name and a face, to it, then we're not going to have the Father's love. Because it's so easy for churches and ministries and even individual people to have this grand, especially people like me who are like, sweep the globe in revival and revival, you know, bring awakening to our generation and do this and do this. To just like see a crowd and a sea of people, but to not know their names or their face. And that we're not actually able to write down who exactly are we talking about when we're talking about this passion that we have. Here's why that's important. Because it does it's a deeper level of what we talked about when we talked about writing down the vision. When all of a sudden, when I talk about, I want to see revival and awakening happen in Oakland, Maine. Who is that? That's the lady who's serving me or who I'm buying my gas from at the Big Apple down the street. Like that's the people at the DMV. That's the people that I see in Waterville in the grocery store. Like that's them. It's those people. It's the people in that house right there. It's a deeper level of fear that we get confronted with when all of a sudden we actually have to define the people that we want to minister to. And we can't just hide behind a grand vision. But we actually are fueled by wanting to see faces, people, bodies encounter the love of Christ. But once we do that, friends, once we actually put definition to who it is that we're called to encounter to, the love of the Father will begin to just completely fill and overflow every one of our efforts. Things changed for me for the Love Project, for what we do in Salem and in Fringe Fest and what they're doing in Croydon for Witch Fest. Things changed for me when I started getting like this when it was no longer just about this big vision, and I started caring more about just every individual person. And in the context, I never sacrificed the greatness of the vision because it's from the Lord. So let's not do that. But I refuse to have vision where I can't clearly see the people I'm called to. It's just like Jesus. Jesus had to have a person to pour his affection into. Jesus had to have a body, a person, a human to pour his love into. It wasn't enough just to sweep the globe in forgiveness and mercy. He had to have those individual encounters, those individual experiences with people, or else it wasn't worth it. And so for a lot of us, and I know like for some of us, we're like, I don't even know what I'm called to. Like, I don't even know like anything at all. Like, I just feel like I'm just kind of like lost and in the dark. So just even talking about this is like three steps ahead. I get that. But for those of us that feel like we have this vision and we have this passion and we don't quite know what it is, like what is it that's keeping us from really, really walking this out? Like, I can sit down and walk about it or write about it. I start to shake and just get pumped, you know, like, really excited. But then there's no person attached to it. For some of us, that's the key to breakthrough, to getting that place of passion, to finding that thing we want to give our lives to. Bring definition to your passion. Let people, all different age groups, all different, whatever it is, let that be the final definition of your passion. It's like in Isaiah 6. When Isaiah has that first encounter with the Lord, he sees the Lord high and lifted up, has the coals touched to his lips, and then the Lord says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, send me. The first thing that the Lord says to Isaiah says, go to this people. Specifically, this people. The first thing he does once he gives them the burden for his ministry is he gives him the faces. We have to be a people who minister to faces. Like, we have to be a people that have in our hearts a people, not just a vision. Does that make sense? It's being pastoral in your visionary thinking. It's refusing to get out of the place where Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me. It's refusing to be so in a place of vision and strategic planning. I mean, if there's anybody that is more of a visionary strategic planner than Jamie, our pastor, I don't know them. Yet, I constantly see him. It was through a lot of confrontations with him that he had to be like, but what about the people? You're thinking about vision. You're not thinking about people. We have to be people motivated because that's the source of God's love and his mercy. All right. Praise the Lamb. We can hide behind the ambiguity, the vagueness of our visions. And the dream that we have won't make an impact on the world unless we put a face to it. Okay, last clue, and this one's the most spiritual one. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Have heroes. And this was really unique for me when I felt like the Lord spoke to me. He says, oftentimes the things that we are drawn to, we're drawn to them on purpose. And sometimes the people, like the people that you see, the heroes that you have in your life that move you, are doing so because there's something going on in their love and in their passion that is similar to what's in yours. It's like John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb when he feels the presence of Jesus around him, and he feels his purpose in that person. It's like Elisha following around Elijah because he knows that he's supposed to carry on his ministry. It's the disciples dropping everything they had because they looked at Jesus and they saw a hero and they saw somebody they wanted to give themselves to. It's Paul having Timothy following around. That's Timothy being sent as Paul's like missionary because he looked at the life of Paul, the apostolic anointing on Paul, and he says, I see something of myself in there. Obviously, this can't be our greatest guide in our single tell of what we're passionate about, but it's okay to look in the lives of different people and to have heroes and to gain from their lives. Like, sometimes our heroes are kind of like, they can be like a gateway of revelation. Like, there's a reason I love these people so much. You know, for me, my heroes, you've got a guy like Lou Engle, who there's something about him that once I saw him first rock and do this, you know, like, because I've always done this since I was, you know, first saved. And I remember I first saw a video, his ministry is called The Call. And if you don't know who Lou Engle is, he does this a lot. He's like, he's a rocker. And I remember the first time I saw a video and I went, oh, they're doing what I'm doing. They rock just like me. And he became a hero. And I didn't know why. I just heard him and I saw him and I said, there's something about that man that I'm just so inspired by. And we're not inspired by men per se, but we're inspired by what the Holy Spirit has done through their lives. See, we're always receiving from the Holy Spirit. Even if some of these heroes have prayed for me before, and the whole time I'm not focused on them, I'm just completely focused on the Holy Spirit saying, God, give me what is on their life. It only comes from you. Thank you for this moment of prayer and impartation, but I'm looking to the Holy Spirit still. You know, Lou Engle, and I found that there was something on his life for the radical devotion to the Lord, this Nazarite call of consecration and devotion, the radical call to intercessory prayer, to shift the nation through prayer and fasting. And I found myself in the fold of kind of his passion, right? There's guys like Bill Johnson who his revelatory gift and his teaching, his perspective of God, his ability to communicate the heart of the Father in such a way that makes you go like, what did you just say? Why didn't anybody tell me that my whole life? I want to be like that. There's Heidi Baker who just lays her life down. There's Elijah who no matter what, Jezebel, it doesn't matter that he stayed faithful for the most part to the call of God on his life. You know, we're allowed to look in the scripture and have heroes. You know, we're allowed to look at Esther. Come on, I feel like there's even someone here that has like an Esther anointing on them. Where their own, it was Esther's beauty that put her before the king, but there's people here, it's like your beauty is like the works of God. There's an anointing and a gifting on your life to go before kings, to go before businessmen, to go before leaders, and to have favor and to have impact for God's people through favor. It's okay to have heroes, and it's okay to see that God is working through heroes, but it doesn't work if we don't walk in honor. So many of us are like, my heroes are dead. They're all imperfect. I found out that Heidi Baker sinned, and I can't follow her anymore. Father, teach us how to honor. Teach us how to see our dreams. I saw it when I met Jamie. You know, that I saw the passion of his life. I saw the call to build an apostolic resource center and a lampstand in the state of Maine that touches the nations. And I saw myself in the fold of that dream. I never had it before I met him. So friends, there's just got to be a grace on us to stay Even in this election season, we have to have eyes that are full of wonder for God, right? Not just in the place of worship when we gather to sing, but we're so full of wonder for God that we're constantly inspired when we see him on the lives of people around us. The last thing I want to say, and we'll make this a point of prayer. Joshua 1:3-7 is where the Lord gives promise to Joshua. Why don't you guys stand? We're just going to pray. We're going to pray through this. So he gives this promise to Joshua about inheriting the promised land. And he tells him that everywhere he puts his foot, he's going to have victory. He says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And this is, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to them, their fathers. Only be strong and very courageous. And I feel like there's such a major key for us to inherit this place of promise. God promised Israel the promised land. He promised Jacob the promised land. He promised Abraham. But God said very clearly what it took to inherit that promise. And it was courage and strength. And what I feel like the Lord wants to do right now is he wants to release courage and strength. What courage does is it looks in the face of fear and says, I'll do it anyway. Most of us have heard it said, and it's true, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the overcoming of fear. You know, it's Amanda looking at like the disparity of our finances and saying, I'm going to quit my job. And then strength is on the other side of courage. When you've done what you know it has been the right move, you've made the right call, you've laid it all down for the Lord, and you've walked in courage, but that then you stay faithful as your process then unfolds. And it's the strength to continue in your courage. Now, your courage doesn't just last a moment, but it lasts a lifetime. And that's what Joshua had. He made that first step going across the River Jordan, and then he walked the whole thing out until the mission was finished. And so for us, I just feel like that's so important that we're all in different places in knowing and feeling and sensing and having vision and direction for our lives and passion and this whole destiny and calling thing. But I so strongly feel these last month and a half, God is going to start sowing those seeds, and we're going to start seeing the first fruits of these big dreams of God coming to pass. And that we're going to need courage to take the first step and strength to keep going. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. You're here already, but God, we welcome you. And Lord, we just confess that we acknowledge that every one of us here is a child of promise. Father, we repent. If anyone here has carried the belief that they don't have a special destiny, they don't have a unique plan, they don't have an extremely anointed, wild dream that they're meant to walk out in this life, Father, we repent right now for believing less than what you've given us. Whether our wildness is leading our families, is working our job so that our families can be provided for, if the wildness before you is sending our kids to college, Father, we repent for seeing less than what you see. And so God, we right now, we break agreement with hopelessness, and we break agreement with small thinking and with small dreaming, and we agree with your heart. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now, would you lift our countenance? And we just thank you. I feel feel like God is exposing right now dreams. Even if it's not specific, he's exposing what it's like to dream. Exposing what it's like to live a hope-filled, faith-filled, dream-filled life. Exposing what it's like to live in a way where you have a Jordan in front of you to cross. Father, we don't want convenience, God. God, we want promise. We want destiny. So Lord, right now, would you release courage and strength? Come on, whatever you need, just lift your hands to the Lord, just like you're receiving a gift. God, we want courage and strength. We acknowledge our need of you, God. We acknowledge that we need courage. We need strength. I just hear the Lord even saying it today, be strong and courageous to do all that I've instructed you. Be strong and courageous to live out the dream of God over your life. Breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Come on. Even dreams that have died, God, stuff that was from you, Lord, but they're dreams that we let die. God, we just pray, revive those dreams again, God. Would you teach us to dream again? Just like how the disciples when they hadn't been catching fish all day, but the moment Jesus said, put that net back in the water again. It was too much for the net to even hold. So Father, would you pour out grace for us to put the net in the water again? God, to walk again the dreams that we felt like died. Businesses, ventures that we were afraid to start. Ministries that we don't understand. And God, even where I feel like there's even somebody here where a church shut you down and said you couldn't operate what you're operating in. But the Lord said that was a dream from me, and there's new wisdom to walk it out in this time. There's new revelation. There's more health, and there's more of a strength in you. It's a healthier you coming into this time. And so it's time to throw off fear and to begin to walk forward in what you're called to do. I see women's ministry just being released right now, that there's a women's, not saying art because Lise is our women's pastor, but there's like a women's pastor anointing that's being released in this place. There's people that have felt the desire to minister to youth, but you think you're too old. The Lord is saying the anointing on you isn't old, but it's meant for young people. I just see like popcorn popping, and I feel like that's kind of our hearts right now. Just pop, pop, pop. Dreams come to life. Pop, pop. I understand if it's late, if you have to go, totally go, all permission to go. But we're just going to linger a little bit longer in this place. Holy Spirit. God, we only want what's from your heart, Jesus. That before the foundations of the world, God, before the earth was even laid, before the earth was even a thought, God, you put dreams and giftings inside of everyone here. Every joint supplies. There's a gift of faith for healing that God is releasing right now. I see just this anointing right now for faith for miracles being released in this place. That you felt like you're called to miracles, but God is releasing it right now. Right now, right now, right now. I just command that thing to come forth. I just say permission granted. I feel like even where cancer has taken the lives of those you love, that's been a blow to your faith. But I feel like what the Lord is saying, there's a fresh perspective, there's a fresh wave of faith coming on you. Yeah, we just declare that difficulty will not destroy our promise. Come on, I speak life right now to every person that feels called to intercession but feels not valued as an intercessor. We just declare right now that the Lord has put a mantle of intercession upon you, that if you're called to pray, then pray. Yeah. Thanks, Jesus. I feel the same thing for men's ministers too. I feel there's people in here that are called to be like a men's pastor. to minister to addicted people, addicted men. But you're still caught up in addiction yourself. So I just command right now that life would begin to come forth. I just prophesy provision for your heart, that whatever it is that you're running to addiction for, that you would run to the Father. And that I just prophesy that God's going to start to just break chains over your life, and that freedom is going to spring up from the ground. And that you, this one life, your one life that was bound in addiction for so long, was set free, would result in 1,000 more saved. Yeah. So Lord, I just declare over everybody here, God, I thank you that you're speaking to us, God, that you speak to us still. We honor you, God. We honor your voice in this place. So I just declare that everybody here, God, that they'd be full of grace. God, that they would walk out the process of their destiny wrecked by the love of the Father. And Lord, that you would send from this place ministers of reconciliation. I declare over every person here, every single person here, regardless of the specifics and the details of what you're called to, that you would be a minister of reconciliation. That you would be a part of the story of God redeeming the world to himself. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, we worship you. We bless you, God. Amen. Well, bless you guys. We love you. Hope you have an incredible week. Thank you.